One of the very last things that I would ever imagine myself saying, holy man, I am on the phone with Dave Mustaine. How in the heck are things, feller?
It's great. It's great. I've been working this morning since 6:45. I'm editing drum tracks on our new record. So I got to tell you, man, I got a great job. I love it. I think it's cool to be doing what I'm doing, and I can't wait for the fans to hear what we're working on.
That's good. I never thought I'd be able to say I have something in common. I absolutely adore my job, too, so at least we could kind of share that mentality. You mentioned you're getting yourself back into it. Obviously, I had to cancel a couple gigs following the absolutely unfortunate passing of Elliot, Dave's brother, which, of course, to you, the band, Dave, of course, my most sincere condolences. But I got to almost think that it's kind of nice getting yourself back into the grind of things, right?
It is. You know, it's unfortunate that Dave's brother had passed away. He was a farmer, and this is, you know, one of the repercussions of pesticides and you know, farming and stuff like that. And I'm not going to name the company that I feel is responsible for his death, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on with the stuff that they put into the ground that, you know, is affecting the farmers. You know, back in the turn of the century, there was 90% of the American population were farmers. Now it's 1%.
Wow, I didn't even know that statistic.
Yeah. Well, Dave's dad was, he had a huge farm, 1,200 square acres of grain corn, the corn that they used to feed cattle. And I remember back in Reaganomics when they gave all these loans to the farmers, and then they rescinded the loans that took it back and foreclosed on all their farms. That's where the song Foreclosure of a Dream came from. I was in Dave's farm in the basement at the time watching television, and a television program came on, and it said, Foreclosure of All Your Dreams. So all the farms are shutting down, blah, 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 blah. And I went, wow, what a great song title.
Right, look at that. And on a history lesson on top of that, so I thank you very much. And I was just looking at your concert schedule, see a bunch of those shows actually our festivals. I have to think that that's got to be just kind of awesome, seeing go around the world, see people just really kind of come out of the woodwork. Any of those particular festivals that are more memorable than others?
Well, you know, there are the ones that are good, there are the ones that are bad. You know, we've had a couple festivals where life has been tragically lost. Castle Donington in 88, two people died. Rock in Rio, after that, two people died. You know, we've had a lot of times where there's been injuries and sadness and stuff like that. But, you know, that's far outweighed by all the good that's happened, marriages and people hooking up and meeting and for the first time. And you know, great friendships develop and bands backstage. You know, it's like a high school reunion sometimes. And granted, there's a little bit of some tension sometimes by people who, you know, are meeting their heroes and stuff like that. And I still have some that I look forward to meeting, too, myself. But you know, for the most part, it's just growing up knowing that this is my job. It's like, you know, being an orgasm donor.
That's a good way to put it. And you even mentioned that there's a bunch of people that you're looking forward to eventually meeting. I mean, we're fortunate that we got the Rock USA kind of coming up here real soon. A bunch of awesome bands on that gig, not just the Thursday, but the whole lineup. I know you have, I can't remember where you are the following day, but I know you don't have a whole lot of time. But are there any of the other bands that you're kind of looking forward to maybe getting together with, checking out that you haven't seen before that are on either this one or any one of the bills?
Well, I'm really close with Robin, with Vinny, so I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, Vinny's new music. Their new record's really great, and I love watching Rob play because I think he's just such a crazy talented guy with, you know, a lot of the show stuff that goes along with it. You know, before we played with them, we were kind of not into the whole illustration thing because we just kind of thought it was outside the scope of what we do. And watching him do that, it was like, you know what, there's so much that can be done by having, you know, video at your shows in order to help, you know, fans that aren't there to see you, that are there to see other people, to appreciate, you know, what your songs are about if you tell a story as you're going along. So that was something that was really cool, too. So I thank Rob for that.
Right, that is kind of cool. And I don't want to keep looking too far ahead down the concert schedule because obviously we're super excited to get you guys in town. But I couldn't help but see, like, just the list of awesome, awesome, awesome venues and countries that you're playing. Spain, Finland, Sweden, Germany. Any of those you're looking forward to particularly?
Well, being an international band, you know, a lot of these places, we've got really great friendships over the years. You know, it's like, you know, watching the World Cup. I don't know if you're into that or not.
Absolutely.
We pick, you know, I thought it was like watching, you know, men's competition diving myself. But for you know, a lot of these countries that you go to, you know, you realize that in a lot of these poverty-stricken places, God is football, you know. So so it's really great to be able to go there and bring your music there and make them happy. You know, we especially enjoy that in some of the cities we play in down in South America. The bands just don't go down there, you know, and it's a great place to go to. Yes, long time ago, it was dangerous to go down there, just like it was dangerous to go to Tel Aviv. But you know, I'm not afraid of that either.
Right. You make it work. Good deal. You got a favorite venue, both in the country and out of the U.S., just because I'm curious of all those cool venues that I'm sure you've
played. I really thought Red Rocks was a magic place. You know, that's one of those places where you just got to be there to know what it feels like. And you know, there's a lot of other places that have a lot of historical value to it, like Madison Square Garden and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just kind of like that old saying, home's where you make it. I don't really care where we're at. I just want to be there.
Right. And you even touched on Red Rocks. Like, I'm not one for a bucket list, but one time before I pass on, I am going to see a show at Red Rocks. Could not care less who I see. I just want to check out that place.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It looks like it. Obviously, plenty booked up for the upcoming months. And at the risk of sounding just a touch greedy, any thoughts of a 2014-15 version of the Gigant Tour?
You know, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. A couple days ago, we had our board meeting at management with the band and you know, all the tour management, business management, all that kind of stuff, because we've changed management and recently had a label change. And we wanted to reinvigorate our brand and go back to what, you know, made me happy and what made us, you know, Megadeth. And you know, as you get more and more successful, a lot of times people pull on you in different directions. With the success that we've had with, you know, video games and with movie soundtracks, you know, that's really kind of tried to hammer, you know, a crooked nail out. And, you know, we liked being a crooked nail, you know, and we were different. And so we're going back to what makes us happy. And that's why I'm up at 6:45 editing drum tracks this morning. I'm going to work. So I walked down the driveway to my studio and been in here waiting to talk to you.
Beautiful. Oh, man, that makes me so good that you set aside time for me. I feel so special. And you even did mention that you're laying down drum tracks. Super Clatter, I think it was just past the one-year mark after it's released and debuted the Tradecraft, your own label. How are things going with that?
It's going great. You know, the whole purpose of that label, it was a surprise to me. Universal had done that as a token of goodwill and you know, their belief in me and our project, and I was surprised. You know, the word had come down to me was, "So, what do you want to call your label?" And I was like, "What?"
Right. And then on top of, we got to think, you get a little bit more freedom, flexibility, and stuff. So that, I can't see that going wrong for you.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing too is, at some point, you know, we're going to be looking at other bands and stuff like that to sign. And I don't want to say that I have all the secrets and I know all the answers to being successful. God knows I made a lot of mistakes. I do know a lot of stuff, and I know how it feels to be a musician and to be, you know, in the music industry and not be understood and not be respected and to be looked at as, you know, kind of like, you know, a musical prostitute. I could never see myself as the, you know, the CEO of Tradecraft being like that to anybody that we would sign. So I know what it's like. I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like to live in a car. It ain't fun. But
right.
If you love your music, you're willing to do anything to be successful.
Exactly. Just be dedicated to it. And actually, I was even going to be asking about possibility of signing some other bands to that Tradecraft, but I guess you nailed that one down for me. So I
it would have to be the right. It'd have to be the right act, because, you know, in order to do that, you want to be able to you know, become part of their family. And I think that's part of the problem with a lot of labels, is they don't look at bands as families. They look at them as product. I remember one time in Germany, this girl was talking about a band and was calling them product. Music is alive. You can't call them product.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
Couldn't agree more. This is pretty much just a selfish question. I'm always curious to hear opinions of some legends and stuff. What are some of your favorite bands out there, whether it's cats that you guys kind of saw grow up with, or even some of the younger bands that you've taken a liking to?
Well, you know, I've got a really vast vocabulary of musical influences, you know, starting like with Beatles and Zeppelin and AC/DC and stuff like that. But I also like the new wave of British heavy metal. I cut my teeth on the British Invasion, and then guitar playing came from the new wave of British heavy metal bands like Judas Priest, bands like Motorhead, Merciful Fate, Diamond Head, stuff like that. And you know, the riff, Budgie, so on and so forth. I remember when I auditioned for Metallica, I called up Lars and I went, "Yeah, I'm in a band." And Budgie goes, Budgie? You know Budgie, man? Oh, my effing God, man. And I was like, yeah.
Right? Good. All right. So you've been no stranger to what we'll call the philanthropic lifestyle, if it isn't too much to say. I know last time you had a conversation with a colleague of mine, you mentioned the Haitian soup kitchen that you were largely instrumental and super proud of. You've dressed up as Santa in San Diego. I know you helped with your wife's coffee line. But one of the coolest stories I honestly could say I ever heard of, a lady by the name of Sarah Cherman was born deaf, always had a fondness for metal, got herself some implants, and then you and I don't know if it was you guys specifically, you the whole band, but flew her out to Vegas, saw her first show for you guys in Motorhead. I guess it's not so much a question, but I have to tell you that that was one of the coolest things I have ever heard, man.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
You know, at some point you got to realize that when you're getting your bills paid and you wake up and you're happy, that you know that's all you need. So when you start amassing these fortunes and stuff like that, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are you going to do with it? So the thing with the soup kitchen, the thing with Sarah, you know, all those things, that's the side of Dave Mustaine that people don't know about. And by the way, the thing about Santa Claus, I didn't dress up as it. What we did was we would co-purchase toys from Hasbro. They would we would buy $10,000 worth of toys each year, and Hasbro would donate a whole bunch. They would match me. And we would deliver all these toys, brand new toys, still wrapped, to the Marines down here, Toys for Tots, to the Children's Hospital, the Cancer Ward down here, and to all the local churches for the kids that were orphans and or from underprivileged families. So, Santa on the inside, not on the outside.
Right on. Sounds good. I'm a little misinformed, but it makes it no less awesome, good sir. Completely forgot about it till yesterday, but I was kind of perusing YouTube, and I came across a video of, back in the day, one of my favorite TV shows, The Drew Carey Show, and there's an episode where they're trying to start a band, and they're auditioning a guitar player. I guess I really don't know if I appreciated it for what it was at the time, and I guess I don't really see it as making fun of yourself, but how do you even get approached for something like that?
Well, Drew is actually, he's a musician, and the opportunity came up, and I just thought, well, yeah, sure. You know, you got to be able to poke fun at yourself.
I could not agree more with that.
Yeah, if you don't have a sense of humor, man, life is going to suck.
Exactly. Good. You saying that makes my day. All right, we're running out of time. I have one last question for you, and I was kind of on the fence of how to word this, so if it's out of line, just let me know. The Megadeth lineup seen it shuffles over the year. Are there any of the past members that you'd like to have an opportunity to play with again?
No.
No? Fair enough.
No.
Good and good. All right. Well, Dave, I cannot thank you enough for joining me.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great day, buddy.
I will. You too.
You got it, buddy.
Holy man, that was Dave Mustaine.